it would be pretty fair to say that the first of whatever we did in any of those eras was probably a student project.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Innovations at Research Park podcast. My name is Tanmay Shah, and I'll be your host for this podcast series. As an alum of the University of Illinois, I continue to be amazed at the incredible innovations happening at the Research Park. With over 120 startups and corporate research facilities housed on the RP campus, there are so many stories to showcase of cutting-edge breakthroughs in disciplines ranging from robots, boats, biotech, software, agriculture, and so much more. Tune into our monthly episodes to hear insightful conversations on what innovations Research Park students, companies, and alumni are creating. I want to also give a shout out to the teams at Research Park and Project 20 Media for their hard work and collaboration to make this podcast come to life. And now, without further ado, on today's episode, I'll be speaking with Mark Moran. Mark is the site director for the John Deere Technology Innovation Center at Research Park, as well as the lead for John Deere's next generation sensing technology for their IoT devices. Welcome to the show, Mark. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Tanmay. Great to be here.
So I'm really excited for this launch episode of our new podcast with the Research Park, and I couldn't be more excited to be speaking with you with all your experience at the Research Park and with John Deere. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too. It's, ag innovation and the university and Research Park and John Deere are all subjects that I get excited about. So it should be fun to talk about it.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of ag tech, right, there's often kind of misconceptions on what that really means. People, they don't really associate agriculture with the latest cutting edge technology or with the innovations coming out of Silicon Valley. So can you maybe just kind of, you know, start off by walking us through what exactly ag tech entails? You know, what does that mean for a company like John Deere?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's probably a lot of, you know, legit definitions for ag tech. For Deere, it tends to be focused on, you know, the use of technology on the farm. And I think from the outside, it's probably really hard to appreciate how high-tech farming is. I guess I'd also say what ag tech means has changed over time. Like 100 years ago, the internal combustion engine was ag tech, and that revolutionized farming. The middle of last century, chemistry was ag tech, and the green revolution and the use of nitrogen and, you know, synthetic fertilizers. Late in the 20th century, information technology was about ag tech, right? And that started the precision ag revolution. And now I think we're on this transition where ag tech is really about artificial intelligence. And the cool thing about ag tech is none of those eras really ever stop, right? We're still making innovations in all of those eras. John Deere was a blacksmith. His initial innovation was the use of a discarded saw blade of Sheffield steel. And that really shiny steel was just cut through soil the way other plows hadn't. You know, so that was a materials innovation. Today, we're still doing materials innovations. We bought a carbon fiber company in recent years because as equipment gets bigger and bigger, we need to take mass out of it. So ag tech is a really, really big idea. There's a lot of domains reflected in that idea.
Yeah, definitely. And specifically over the past year, you know, with the global pandemic and the recent kind of, I would say, resurgence in the talks about climate change and about sustainable farming, you know, why is ag tech innovation critical now more than ever? As you mentioned, what are those kind of large scale problems that this sector is looking to solve?
That's a great question. I think there's a couple of really important trends there. On one hand, between now and the middle of the century, there'll be another 2 billion-ish people in the world. And folks that think a lot about demographics say most of those people are going to be in the middle class, which means they're going to eat better, means they're going to eat more protein. You know, a calorie of protein takes, you know, 6 to 10 calories of grain to produce. So adding a couple of billion people to the middle class means something like doubling the food supply. So there's still a growing pressure to continue to be more productive. That trend isn't letting up. At the same time, the things that we're doing really aren't sustainable. We can't keep using the amount of water. We can't double the food supply at the rate we use water today. Industrialized agriculture has done a great job growing the output, but it hasn't been the most efficient at managing the inputs. And that's where sustainability comes in. Huge push on continued productivity, but at the same time, we have to be more sustainable. You know, precision ag has always been about the right practice in the right amount, at the right place, at the right time. And really, that's what sustainability is as well. And you're seeing a convergence of those ideas, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned, you're the site director with John Deere, and that's a household name. I mean, that company has been around for close to 200 years, if I understand correctly. But it's still an industry leader that can innovate quickly, and we'll kind of touch on some of those innovations later in this episode. But you talk about these problems about sustainability and about the world population increasing at an exponential rate. Where does John Deere come into play with those large scale societal problems? What is John Deere's ultimate vision for utilizing technology to meet those rapidly growing needs?
You know, really, for 184 years, John Deere has been about meeting the needs of our customers. We help them solve their problems however they want to do that. As you talk about growing population and kind of those broader ideas of human flourishing, it's probably important to note we're not just an ag company. We are the world's biggest ag equipment company. We've held that number one position for over half a century, but we also have we're also the number one in road building, number one in forestry. You know, whether it's fuel or fiber or food or infrastructure, Deere's a part of all of those landscapes that contribute to how people live better. We continue to innovate in power. You know, you're seeing the role of electrification and electricity in our products continuing to expand, continue to innovate in precision ag. You know, the idea that, you know, you can make decisions now, not at a field level or at a row level. Now we're starting to get to the point where you can start to make decisions at a plant level. Still not done on that journey, but definitely heading there. And then the complexity of decisions that you can make in real time in the field, or, you know, kind of off season when you're planning, really starting to be supported not by just a human computer, but by artificial intelligence. All of those are areas where we continue to drive. And again, that's the cool thing about ag. It's not just one technology. It's continued innovation in all of those places.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And you talk about precision ag. So I'm getting this this picture in my mind, a mental model, right, of technology being able to pinpoint a specific, let's say, a pesticide for a very specific crop or specific plant. Does that seem kind of reverse of what one might think when they think scalable? When you talk about feeding the population of the world, the first thought that comes to mind is scalable, right? I think of, you know, how can I increase my output? If I'm a farmer, how can I increase my output to meet the demands for a growing population? How does precision ag play into that if we're talking about pinpointing specific crops and optimizing those?
Yeah, it's kind of both at once, right? It's, you know, farming is outdoor manufacturing. And, you know, manufacturing is an optimization problem, right? How do I maximize my outputs while minimizing my inputs? It's really both at once. A really practical, relevant, timely, concrete example. We announced See and Spray Select this week. It's a technology. It's the first technology in what will be a family of See and Spray technologies where row by row, it's able to make decisions and spray just where you want it to. You know, in this case, we're only running the sprayers to kill the weeds. We're not just broadcasting, leaving all the sprayers on all the time. So it's a great crop care application where we're getting rid of the weeds that are going to impact output later, but we're not doing it by, you know, broadcast spraying every nozzle running all the time. Our research tells us we think customers can see like a 77% reduction in use of chemicals here in the use cases, not total, but in the use cases that See and Spray Select goes after. So we're reducing inputs, and doing that, we're maximizing the outputs. So it really is both at once.
Yeah, understood. And, you know, talking about the different apps you mentioned, there was one just released this week, and there's several more already out there that have been usable for some time now. I want to kind of dive into what those innovations were and talk about, you know, where they came from. And a good segue into that is really talking about the presence of John Deere at the Research Park, right? As I understand it, this Technology Innovation Center was opened in 2008 at the Research Park on the U of I campus. year 13 now, which is a long time for a corporation to have presence at such a university. Can you kind of talk on, you know, why that decision in 2008? You know, why was University of Illinois the best place to work on this vision of feeding the world and of innovating at John Deere?
First, you know, put it in context, the office in Champaign is one important part of a large investment Deere makes in innovation. You know, we're spending $3 or $4 million a day in R&D. A little bit of that happens in Champaign. A lot of that happens in a lot of other places around the world. We don't have too many universities that we have relationships with. So it is very special in that regard. But, you know, Deere's innovation footprint is really, really large. Why Research Park? A lot of factors. Maybe one way to think of it is there are two schools in the U.S. that have both top 10 computer science programs and top 10 ag engineering programs, Cornell and the University of Illinois. One of those is in our backyard, the other is not, right? All of the problems worth solving now are all these like multi-discipline, multi-domain problems. So that ability to do, you know, ag engineering and computer science, or ag engineers and material science, or ag engineering and geospatial. That's really what makes Illinois a really good place to do something like this, because it's so strong in so many fields. And it's also huge, right? It's this innovation at scale idea. I like to say, you know, this is a school that you can really say in the same sentences that you say, you know, MIT and Stanford and kind of those coastal schools, but it's right here in the heartland. And it's a place where the Deere brand resonates. Like everybody's grandparent, practically speaking, was a farmer here, right? And so everyone has this touch point to that big green equipment. Everyone sees it when they're coming down I-57 or I-74 or however they're getting to town, right? So it's that combination of those of the fantastic capabilities of the university and the resonance of the brand.
Yeah. And not to mention the caliber of the students, right? I mean,
oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
John Deere works not only with PhDs, but with undergrads, graduate students. Can you kind of speak on the student demographic that you have working with you at that innovation center?
Yeah. Yeah. Most years, the students outnumber the full-timers. They're critical to what they do. I think for most of us, definitely me included, it's one of the best parts of working in Champaign is getting to work with the students. Let's see, I don't have the data for last summer, but two summers ago, we actually hired students from 16 different majors. It's not just ag engineers, you know, it's not just computer scientists, you know, it's aero engineers and mechanical engineers. We had a master's in finance student being a cost accountant for us. We hired a advertising major to help us with some videos we were doing, really leveraging all that the university offers. We've had them as young as freshmen and, you know, and all the way through to, you know, fifth year PhD candidates. The mix varies year to year, but probably about half undergrads, half grads across a wide range of majors. Some of them stay with us and end up going full time. A lot of them go on to other opportunities, but they're critical to our success, and a lot of fun to work with.
Definitely. And, you know, talking about those different opportunities that students have at the Innovation Center, can you kind of share some of those success stories that students have had a big hand in creating when it comes to some of those innovations?
Maybe one way to think of it would be if you look at the last few years, the kinds of things we've done in Champaign. We did the first Alexa skill that Deere had. So any of the first voice user interface stuff. A lot of Deere's mobile strategy has been birthed in Champaign. We do a lot of data science work. We've done a lot of autonomy work, doing a lot of advanced sensing work now. It would be pretty fair to say that the first of whatever we did in any of those eras was probably a student project. With the caliber of students we get in Champaign, we can draw a picture on a whiteboard on Monday and have a really crappy version of it running by the end of the week, right? And then once you instantiate that first thing, that's when you learn a ton, right? Then you start to interact with it and you can improve it and figure out what you like about it, what you don't like, what you missed the first time, that velocity that we can get with the student talent. I am sure we are the fastest moving office in Deere.
Yeah. And that idea of fail fast, move quickly is a great opportunity for students to pick up on as well, right? Because they that's a skill of, regardless of if they stay with John Deere or if they go elsewhere, that's a critical skill needed for any career path in any discipline. So that's definitely, something that they can walk away with. Can you also talk about the Go and Plus apps? So I was doing some research on what those are, and it's interesting that they were also the fruit of student labor. So can you kind of talk about, what those are and what purpose they serve?
Sure. Yeah. My predecessor leading the center, Dr. Julian Sanchez, who's now our director of emerging tech, Julian really did a lot to kind of help Deere develop its mobile strategy. A lot of that came out of Champaign. Part of what the office was able to do was to help to understand why do our customers actually care about mobile. Those Go apps really were just the simple idea that you could have that documentation on the go, whether that was the user's manual or maybe it's access to, videos for during service on the equipment, just that mobile information. That's the idea behind the Go apps. In some cases, our customers wanted, and it made sense to do more. So those Plus apps are things where you can do more. Mower Plus is an app where we use the GPS on the phone to help you track your mowing. If you don't, now if you've got a really high-end piece of Deere equipment, it's got a GPS receiver that's 1 inch accurate, about the best GPS in the world. You don't need your phone's lousy GPS in that case. So like our app Tractor Plus on the low end will use your phone GPS, but on the high end, you don't need that because you're using the GPS on the equipment, right? We've done other apps that help customers kind of tune the equipment. So even if they're out of the cab, they can access some of the functionality. If you think about the size of some of our equipment, you can't access the cab when you're at the back end, right? So mobile app is a great way to augment that. We've got some cases where our apps can maybe enable some e-commerce, make it easy to order some parts. The apps can help keep track of those service intervals, right? So, when do you need to change your oil? When do you need to do whatever those service items are? Mobile apps are great for keeping track of all that. I think we've got 40-some mobile apps now. Most of those have their roots in code that was written in Champaign. Most of those can trace their code base back to something that came from Champaign.
That's amazing. And now they have a national impact, or even international, you would say?
Yeah, international. And it varies from app to app. Not all of them have product lines that are sold globally. Some of that mobile work still happens in Champaign, but a lot of that, we've graduated to other places as we've kind of mainstreamed it, and it's become more normal course of business. Then you start to kind of graduate that technology out of a tech center. So we still do some mobile work. We still have a few mobile developers because that's so important to so many things that we do. We've tried to, kind of graduate those skills and replicate them and move them on at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, right, there's, I think you said this past year, you hired 16 different majors, and that correlates with the 7 departments at the Innovation Center. And can you kind of speak on, one of those departments being agronomy and another one being user experience? Can you kind of speak on, what students in those capacities might be working on? What kinds of projects are in scope for them if they're not necessarily working on those mobile apps or tech projects?
Yeah, maybe a couple of things I'll say about that. The 7 departments you're referring to is from a John Deere Journal article a couple of years ago. That's the funny thing about JD Tick. That list was accurate then. It would be a different list now. That's the cool thing about so much of our talent being student-based is we can reboot ourselves really, really quickly. The things that we're work on really, really evolve over time. We do still have an agronomy team. I think we always will in Champaign. We don't have a UX team, but now we have UX students that are working on our projects, but really the org structure that they're a part of has graduated and moved on. That's what a tech center does. We don't just graduate technologies. We birth capabilities as well. To your question, though, so for a UI UX student in Champaign, they're going to be doing everything from, probably helping us with some wireframes for a mobile app, helping us with basic layout, maybe helping us with some storyboarding, We also expect those students to help us with actual user experience work. Maybe that's ethnographic research, seeing how a customer can set up the equipment. We don't worry too much about what your major is or what your background is. We just expect everyone to get it and help. So those same students on other days might be doing something that they never guessed they would be. They might be out in the field actually, making measurements or whatever else it needs to get the project done. And most students like that variety and that breadth of experience. For agronomy, yeah, I mean, any new product we release, we're making claims about how that product's going to perform. It takes a lot of agronomic research to know that. And so students help do that research where we're trying to decide what kind of innovations to bring to our customers. When we understand what our customer needs are, that's agronomists that are central in translating that into technology. So agronomy students help us with that as well.
Yeah, it's definitely good to know that. Although the name of this center may be the John Deere Technology Innovation Center, that is kind of a core component of what students might be doing and what the full-time folks might be doing, but it's not necessarily the full scope of it. And there is so much more to be done there as well. So that's definitely good to know. I want to also kind of talk a bit about John Deere's role in general in the ag industry and kind of speak on what that looks like in the future. So, obviously with the ultimate objective for any farmer being, in my opinion, three main things: increase their yields, lower their costs, and improve sustainability. Where do you think the next innovation lies in the ag sector? And where do you think John Deere plays into that?
We're crossing this line from where it's, just precision ag into really at a technology level, it's going to be artificial intelligence for the next few years that's driving things. 5G is going to be another important technology for us, but it'll take a while for that to get out to rural areas. That'll improve connectivity, which makes a lot of things possible. Massive compute on the edge that's made possible by GPUs, that continues to be important for us. So those are technologies we're continuing to watch and interact with. From the customer side, I think the big trends that are really driving them, you hit it right on the head. It's really about sustainability. They will continue to maximize outputs and minimize inputs. I heard a colleague say once, there is no one that cares more about sustainability than someone that wants to pass their farm on to their kids. And we really find that's true in our customers. And it's amazing how much energy there is, not just in Deere, but across the industry in sustainability. You could definitely say that the push for carbon markets is a piece of that sustainability conversation. It's a narrow piece, but it's a piece of that sustainability conversation. A lot of interest in regenerative agriculture. As those things are important to our customers, we're going to be there to support them with the tools that they need to be successful.
Yeah, so when you talk about sustainability and farmers kind of being generational and passing down their estate to their further generations, with the rapid acceleration of technology and AI coming into the ag industry, while at the same time these farmers being very generational, do you think there is a digital divide when it comes to keeping these farmers adapted to these new technical tools?
Farmers have a long history of technology adoption. I don't worry about their ability to make good business choices and adopt technology as it makes sense for their operations. If there's a digital divide, it's driven more by connectivity. 100 years ago, there was a lack of rural electricity, so there was a big push for rural electrification, and that made huge productivity increases on the farm. 5G may be something similar for farmers, that ability to be connected. When you look at those coverage maps from pick your favorite phone provider, those spots where there's not coverage, those are farms, right? and so that if there's a digital divide, it's really driven by connectivity, I'd say.
Yeah, and I would presume that the only way of mitigating that is just work by those companies creating the 5G to increase their coverage, right? Or do you think that there are workarounds for a company like John Deere to still deliver really cutting edge technology to those areas where that connectivity may not be there yet?
Yeah, that's the cool thing. The compute power available on the edge has grown so much that there's a lot of things we can do without that. Eventually, that data's got to make it home for the customers to be able to really manage their operations. The amount of an NVIDIA Jetson TX2, which is what, a $500 GPU, That's like the power of the fastest computer in the world a couple decades ago. You know, like, so that's how much horsepower is out on the edge. It's completely commoditized. There's still a ton they can do. No question about it. If this curve of use of technology doesn't flatten out, which it won't, there's no history that says it will, then getting connected becomes important. Today, private 4G LTE technologies like that customers can use to light up areas if they want to. What Deere's role will be in that will have a lot to do with what our customers want it to be and what we see as necessary to continue to advance technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, we've been talking a lot about all these different innovations happening through Research Park and with John Deere and the ag industry. Where can our listeners go to stay updated on the innovations that John Deere might be working on, whether that's at Research Park or elsewhere?
Great question. The Ag Tech Innovation Summit, my boss, Dr. Julian Sanchez, is going to be speaking there. Julian will talk all about things that are happening at Deere. And eventually, Research Park normally puts those talks up on their website, even for folks that don't catch that live. Deere is pretty active on social media. Our YouTube channel, a lot of videos of the equipment, which is, you know, beautiful. You know, our equipment's pretty cool. Deere's pretty active on all the social channels. And that's the best place to stay in touch with us and know what we're up to. Let's see, last 3 years, we've been at the Consumer Electronics Show and been really well received there. I think our customers feel like we're helping tell their story. And I think most people are surprised by how totally badass our equipment is. So CES is another place to get in touch with a company like Deere. Those are the things that come to mind. Yeah.
And of course, on the Research Park website, I'm sure there will be more postings about opportunities for students, whether that's in the technology capacity or, as you mentioned, finance, agronomy, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, I think we got 5 postings up right now. We're just about always hiring students. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. Yeah. So, you know, if any students are listening that are passionate about this mission of helping farmers sustainably feed the world and about cutting edge technology in the ag industry, this is definitely the place to be. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's all I got for you, Mark. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Any final closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Thanks for the opportunity. These are topics I get excited about, so I'm glad to spend some time with you. Congrats on the new podcast, and best wishes for all your future episodes.
Awesome. Yeah, and for our listeners, if you enjoyed this conversation, I would really appreciate if you can just leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify if you're listening there. And if you've got specific feedback or if you have show ideas or episodes you want to hear, head over to project-20.co/researchparkpodcast to leave us a comment. That's project-20.co/researchparkpodcast. And we'd love to hear what you have to say. So thanks, and we'll see you for the next episode.